At 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. In a few minutes, we're going to go to Paul Roland and his co-host Jacqueline Keeler. That's going to be an amazing show. Happens every Wednesday around here, but you need to make it keep happening.
Indeed. And at 9 o'clock, Political Perspectives will be on the air with Teresa Mitchell. She will be welcoming Amy Goodman, her very own self, as well as Matt Taibbi from Rolling Stone. That's going to be a fantastic conversation. You'll want to stay tuned to KBOO all day long, but right now is a great time to just take a couple of moments and know that you are a part of this exciting community radio station that makes this all possible, that you, in fact, as a contributing member of KBOO, are how we stay on the air and how we stay connected to you, our grassroots. Go ahead and close in that loop. Become a reciprocating listener and participate right now with your contribution at 877- 500-5266. There's only one phone line left. If you make it ring, I'm gonna, or Lisa's gonna have to run over and answer it, and that's exciting because we'll talk to you. We'd love to talk to you. Please call us 877-500-5266. You can also get us online at kboo.fm or come in person to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, just between Burnside and Ankeny on Southeast 8th. However you can connect with us, take a few minutes this morning and do it. Become a part of this community radio station, because we are stronger together and we need your strength added to this membership community. 877-500-5266.
Reading poetry from Central America. After talking with my brother, suddenly remembering how they kill. Couldn't really say it straight before. They told me you were dead. I died. They told me your mother was dead. I died again. They told me the kids were dead. I died with each name. Fire. The government said accident. They lied. Duck Valley, my El Salvador. Our last kiss was our last goodbye. They came for you in winter's night. Winter's wind wailed in mourning. Government people search for days. Scene of crime, digging through ashes, looking for body parts and disturbing evidence. We buried you all in a large grave while a blizzard covered us in a blanket of snow. How it stormed. Terrible pain in land of the free. Someone's should have noticed fewer women laughing. Someone's should have noticed fewer children growing up. But this isn't El Salvador. Warm, strong-willed woman, I still have memories you gave me. Maybe if we recognized peasant eyes, maybe if we recognized plantation lies, Archbishop Romero would have nothing on you. Trying not to cry, how will I ever stop? Ever see a wounded lion, try hiding pain. Watch out, it doesn't work. But this isn't El Salvador. At times, I feel every embrace we should.
And here we are. This is Wednesday Radio Zine, and that was a very intense piece by John Trudell. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. My name is Paul Roland, and I'm with my co-host Jacqueline Keeler for the second time in 3 weeks.
Good morning.
Good morning. And this is last day of membership drive, and we're going to be, I thought of that song because it talks about an episode of domestic terrorism against the American Indian Movement, specifically John Trudell's family back in 1979, I believe, when a fire swept through his home in Duck Valley, Nevada, and killed his wife and three children and mother-in-law. And we were thinking that Jackie was thinking of, as we many of us are, this most recent terrorist bombing in Birmingham, and all the how it just seems to be the new normal around the world. We just sort of now just sort of have to accept it, that these things are just going to happen. And of course, since Jackie is Native American, I thought of the parallels, I'm sure she has too, with the Native American experience. So we're going to talk about that and more. But first, I have an announcement. This Saturday at 6:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater at 41st and Northeast Sandy, there's a benefit screening of Promised Land, which centers on the Chinook and Duwamish Indian nations and their attempt to regain their status and their treaty rights, still legally denied by the U.S. government. The film is an exploration of the inseparability of identity and place, the way society and government look at tribal sovereignty, and a deep look at whose land we inhabit. 100% of ticket sales are donated to the Chinook Indian Nation's legal fund. Again, that's Promised Land, which has already been playing around some since, I guess, the fall of last year. That's this Saturday, 6:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater at Northeast 41st and Sandy. So maybe we should start talking about that. About that's something you've had to struggle with your whole life, about being Native in a almost foreign land.
Yeah. So the I was thinking, you know, my heart goes out to the people in Manchester with the bombing there that happened at the Ariana Grande concert. And I am a mother, and I have, young teenage children, and I can't imagine what that would be like. And I suppose that's what the attacks are about, is to and how do we live with that today? You know, when there have been not only acts of terrorism, but also acts of even here in the Portland area, there have been acts of violence in public areas, mass shootings, and the one over in, was it the Clackamas Mall years ago?
Indeed.
And it just leaves you, it makes you wonder how do you stay safe? How do you keep your children safe in these situations? And it's just been an ongoing thing for I guess this entire 21st century, even going back to when there was that, my children went to school out in Helvetia and West Union, which is very sort of rural, and it's just past the urban growth boundaries, so there's farmland and everything. And it went after the Amish shooting happened at a school there. My parents were like, are our grandchildren safe out here? There's like a dairy across the street and cows, you feel very exposed. Suddenly it looks like an exposed place to send your children and grandchildren to school.
And these things that just sort of like explode seemingly out of nowhere. And I guess that's sort of the easy way out, to sort of sometimes just look at them as just sort of happening out of nowhere. Probably that's how a lot of Americans look at these terrorist bombings, you know, whether they're the Boston Marathon bombing, or they're just sort of like, where'd they come from?
Yeah, I mean, these even Americans who have been starting the use of this in public areas, not only by folks radicalized by ISIS, but also radicalized by other aspects of life, or just alienated and isolated. Here in the U.S., of course, we have the militia groups, going all the way back to the Oklahoma bombings, and it's these folks are, how do we deal with that as parents and as community members? How do we have safe places? And then we have people like Trump, who are basically, and of course Steve Bannon and stuff, who are utilizing this to motivate people to give up their rights to, and of course that's what happened after the after 9/11, and it's just, I guess I'd like to hear from the audience how they're feeling about this and coping with it. So.
But of course we are also in our membership drive, and this is the last day, and we really do need your support. So we are asking people to call in first at 877-500-5266. That's the number to call in to support our station. But of course, the number to call in here as well when we get started again is 503-231-8187.
All right, and my name's Lisa Loving. Good morning. This is KBOO Community Radio. Join your friends and neighbors and become a member of this powerful radio community. This is our spring membership party, as you probably already know. We're passing the hat for this radio station. We've got a goal for this show. We do have a goal for this show, and the supervisor will write it up on the board within the next few minutes. We've got people taking your calls, 877-500-5266 to support this radio station. We have amazing programming. We have all kinds of gifts we can give you for your contribution to the radio station. But the most important thing is that you need to give a call and invest. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. We love it when people show up in person. We're actually a real place with real people in it and a front door. Can you imagine? And you're actually welcome to come in that door. We're at 20 Southeast 8th in Portland, Oregon. Come in. If you're already a member, empty your wallet out on the table. We love it when people just bump up their contribution. We have a few people to thank. Thanks to Joseph. He's renewing from Vancouver. Go, Joseph, go. We've got Eli Anderson from North Portland renewing. Yay, Eli. Woo! Sam is renewing from Hood River. And I do want to stop for a second and make a call. If you're beyond Portland, if you're over Portland, if you're outside of Portland, do you know what I mean? We have so many listeners in the gorgeous Columbia Gorge and the wonderful Willamette Valley. Give us a call. It is toll free, 877-500-5266. Ani?
That's really it, 877-500-5266. I want to thank everyone for calling in this morning.
More
thank
cowbell.
You so much for doing that. More cowbell.
Cowbell
all the time. But now we would love to thank you. Go ahead and add yourself into this amazing community that supports KBOO, your community radio station. Become a participating member of KBOO, because really, that is the first step in doing some meaningful social change work today. It is supporting this microphone that supports so many marginalized communities as we come together to make the world a better place, as we share our culture, our music, our views, our politics. Please be a part of this right now with your call at 877-500-5266. Stand up and be counted. Become a KBOO member this morning. 877-500-5266.
All right. Thank you, Ani and Lisa. And you're back with me and Jacqueline Keeler. And we're talking about terrorism, the new normal, and a bunch of other things. So, there's so many things that just become the new normal. It seems like we're just reaching this boiling point all across the board. You know, strange weather, pipelines just going everywhere, population exploding all around, new technologies. Seems like it's difficult to sort of keep our equilibrium in general.
Well, I think, I talk about how the U.S. is still a colony, and I think that is always the key to examining all these phenomena. What creates them, how a colony functions to create these systems. And certainly the rise of terrorism is a product of colonialism. These relationships, these colonial predatory relationships that were built with other peoples, not only Native nations here in the United States and Canada, but also, in the Middle East. Those were, the attraction of the oil and coming from the British imperial, intentions there, continuing on today. And I think it's...
They pretty much wanted to take over the whole world at the time. And
yeah.
They came pretty close.
And I think that still is a goal. I mean, I think that especially controlling the oil fields with little regard for the actual, countries and peoples involved. And it's just metastasized to this huge mess with all the meddling going on. Certainly the United States played a huge role in supporting and cultivating extremism, as in Afghanistan, to try to, kind of take on Russia there through other actors, sponsoring the Mujahideen and all these things. And all to try to maneuver the chessboard in order to gain access to oil overseas. And certainly when you read what Trump is saying, how we should just go over there and take their oil, and certainly the Bush administration, that was, this idea that, we've been fighting these wars for oil and destabilizing these areas overseas. And this is what is, and I think it's the frustration born out of that extremely predatory relationship.
Yeah, and just the enforced acculturation and the however one looks at even conservative Islam in its most repugnant aspects to the Western eye, whatever the burqa and the relationship between the genders and various things. It's the sudden imposition of Western consumerism, of Western lifestyles.
I think actually that's a response to the predatory behavior, because if you look at like Iran in the 1950s, they were very rapidly progressing and opening up, and in the 60s, and then of course U.S. interests play a role in them originally supporting these incredibly repressive aspects, whether repressive regimes, dictators, or fundamentalists. And so I think that you can't forget the role the U.S. played and other imperial actors played in promoting these groups to gain control, to gain a footing, in order to gain the oil. And so
divide and conquer.
Yeah, I think this is something that we often lose track of or forget. Saudi Arabia is the only country in the world that's named after a family. It used to be called Arabia, and then the Sauds put their name. I mean, this would be like Trump renaming the United States Trump United States, Trump America or something.
I'd love that.
I know. It is a, dictator. I mean, the family rules autocratically. There are no elections there. And I was just seeing the headline, I think, from the New York Times, which was saying that Saudi women actually are living the Handmaid's Tale there. And yet we put up with all of that because we have a relationship with them for the oil, and that's what matters most, actually. And these other things, like using excuses like trying to meddle in there to restructure them to be more democratic or whatever, are just or supporting radical Islam, is all in the interest of the United States and the elites that want control of the oil.
Yeah, I think I've read a fair amount of people who seem to have this, the whole just creating chaos everywhere just seems to be in the interest, and the idea that out of that chaos, control of the resources, or the idea that they can actually engineer these situations in their favor has has been somewhat successful, but I think much less successful than would actually ever like to admit. And I think the diminishing returns, you know, but what they're doing is basically just creating more. What's happened is just more and more chaos being created. And I think the idea that that control can come out of that, I think is an increasingly vanishing illusion, just like the climate is slipping away from us. The idea that we can engineer everything. Anyway, we do have to go to another break here. And this is our membership drive, last day of our membership drive here on Community Radio, where your voice is important and your financial support is also very important.
Yay!
In fact, very important. And you know, what this is actually a moment that we get to let you know, dear listeners, how important your support is at KBOO, your community radio station. It's really, you know, we are focused on money because this is in fact how we fund this independent media resource. We are independent because your funds support us from the grassroots. We are not beholden to any one major contributor, but our support is spread out throughout the community so that you actually demand our independence. And you do it when you call and you add yourself to this amazing community of radio activists. Call us at 877-500-5266. And with your contribution, $20 a month is a great way to support KBOO. If you can give in a monthly way, whatever you can work into your budget would be greatly appreciated. But I'm suggesting 20 bucks a month. Think about what you can do with $20, and then think about what you can do for your entire community by committing $20 a month to your community radio station, KBOO. 877-500-5266. I'm Ani. I'm here with Lisa. And it's, you know, like I said, we've been a little focused on money because this is our fundraising drive. But your membership is so important because you actually become somebody who is able to sit on advisory committees, to be on the board, to vote for the board. This is grassroots radio. Our membership is vital to our philosophy and how we do things here at the station. And right now, we are inviting you. In fact, we are encouraging you. We are asking you from the very bottom of our hearts to jump on in to this membership community and to help govern this community resource even as you help fund it by calling 877-500-5266.
Hey, you know, I feel as if a lot of people, including people listening to KBOO who are actually very well-informed people, don't understand the changes that have been happening with the Federal Communications Commission. That's the federal bureaucracy that governs, theoretically, what radio stations and broadcast outlets do, and they're also messing around with net neutrality. But the FCC is moving to change what's called the main studio rule. This rule requires broadcasters to have a studio in their city of license. Removing this requirement raises concerns that stations will become less involved in their communities and will sound more and more the same from city to city. If you're listening to me right now, you know that KBOO exists to engage the public, to engage you. KBOO is, you know, you are not a passive listener. That's a thing that always blows my mind about KBOO and KBOO communities. So strongly encouraging, especially people who are beyond Portland in the wonderful Willamette Valley and the gorgeous Columbia Gorge, to give us a call toll-free, 877-500-5266. We're asking people to give at the level of $20 a month. We're talking about how the cost of everything is going up. You know, we've made these pitches years ago. We would actually ask for less money, and that's because our money went farther. Now we find that when my beloved housemates wake up, they all work in food service. They reach for energy drinks. Those energy drinks cost, on sale, they're $2.50, but they can, not on sale, they're like $3.50 or $5, some of them. If you are working for minimum wage, which in Oregon is still under $10 an hour, I just want to strongly encourage you to make a couple of tiny sacrifices in your life. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. The room you make for this radio station in your budget is an investment that'll actually keep your communities vital. Keep, I'm just going to say, real freedom of speech and real information out there. 877-500-5266. 5266 is the number to call. Come in person. We're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. Empty out your wallet on the table. You know, yesterday we were inviting people to come in person. I would toast a frozen toaster waffle for you. Check it out. We have microwave sausage this morning, too. If you come,
it's a whole hot breakfast.
I'm saying, if you come to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, this is kind of reminiscent of the moist towelette giveaway of a few years ago. It's conceptual. It's conceptual. But I'm saying, we're on the page with you. Get on the page with us. 877-500-5266. We're talking to you. This really is about you. Invest in KBOO. KBOO.FM. We're listening to Paul Roland and Jacqueline Keeler do Wednesday Talk Radio. This should be my show.
It did.
And I'm so excited to have new voices, wonderful voices on the air. And that's what we do here. 877-500-5266. 30 seconds, Ani.
Well, you know, all I can do is say yes. Help us raise this goal. We're looking for $2,000 this morning. $2,000, which can be done with your support. Call us. 877-500-5266. As the FCC allows the further homogenization of the media, as the FCC allows the corporate conglomerates to eat up more and more of the public's airwaves, KBOO stands tall in opposition to that. We are hyper-local. We are absolutely unique, and we do it with your support. Call us. Be a part of the solution. 877-500-5266.
And we're back. And I just want to say that Jacqueline Keeler has a book that was just published. We talked about it a few months ago. It was in the offing. She has actually a couple books. One is Red Rock Stories, and the other just got published in a wide publishing, was Edge of Morning, Native Voices Speak for the Bear's Ears. And she just told me she's willing to let go a few copies of that for a contribution. So let's just say for a $75 contribution, you can get a copy of Jacqueline Keeler's new book, Edge of Morning, Native Voices Speak for the Bear's Ears, if you call up 877-500-5266. That just decided that kind of spur of the moment. We don't have all the paperwork, but you know, it's her book and she's got copies, so she can do whatever she wants. So Edge of the Morning, Native Voices Speak for the Bear's Ears. Tell us a little bit about that book, Jackie.
Yeah, so I was, I'm not sure if you're all familiar with the Bear's Ears National Monument, which is it's basically comes out of the work of five tribes in the Southwest. And Bear's Ears is an area that is sacred to all of these tribes, and really their birthplace. It's sort of for the Americas, it's like a fertile crescent. It's this gorgeous area located in southeastern, what is now southeastern Utah. But it is, it's just, it has these two buttes, which look like bear's ears. So that's why they have that name in Navajo. And so, so I got to interview the local, the first part of the book are my interviews with the tribal leaders who started this monument proposal. And it's unusual in that it involves five different tribes working together, and also gives them a seat at the table in managing the national monument. So the United States is cooperatively managing this area with the tribes themselves, which is the first time this has ever happened. And so, and it's filled with sacred sites. It has over 110,000 different archaeological sites. It's been looted. This is why they had to work really quickly to save it, because the local white community has been looting the artifacts and even graves. And it's amazing. It's got Mesa Verde type of structures cliff dwellings. It's gorgeous. And then, so the second half of the book, the second third of the book is interviews I did with Navajo academics and scholars and activists, sacred sites activists, about what this means to us. And one, I did interview one Hopi archaeologist as well. And then the last half, last third is with Native indigenous sacred sites activists from across the country commenting on the bear's ears and the strategies they use in their communities to preserve these sacred sites.
And I think you had an interview with Klee Benali in there, yeah?
Oh, well, Klee actually, it was an interview. He actually wrote the piece himself, and it was about his work. He was on last time I was on, and he is a Navajo activist, and he worked to preserve one of our sacred mountains in Flagstaff called Dok Osled, which is also called San Francisco Peaks.
And yeah, he was in Portland just a couple weeks ago. I went to see him, and hopefully we'll get that audio on KBOO in the not too distant future. So one thing I know you want to talk about, I know we only have a minute left, maybe we can just go a little bit over here. Or no, this is actually our long stretch here during membership drive. We have another 10 minutes, I think. So you wanted to talk about peacemaking.
Yeah, I think one of the things I really get a lot of strength from my own, I'm a member of, my father is Yankton Sioux, Yihanktawan Dakota, and my mother is Navajo Diné. And both those cultures have very different cultural traditions and connections to the land, but they have similar themes. And they come from our relationship to the land. The other book that Paul mentioned is called Red Rock Stories, which was I contributed to this book, and it's about three generations of writers speaking on behalf of public lands, and it was recently excerpted in Sierra Magazine, and so the one they chose was my piece called "It's the Land That Tells a Story," and in there I describe how what it means to be related to the land. I mean, actually related. My clan is Kia'ani. Our clans in Navajo are matrilineal, so this is my maternal grandmother's clan, and I come from a line of Kia'ani women going back, according to Navajo cultural beliefs, back to the very beginning of time, and we were created by the goddess Changing Woman, Atsanadhe, and we were made from her heart, So this is a sense of being, and she being changing, the word changing woman really refers to her being like a force of nature, the very changing nature of the earth itself with the seasons and everything. And so it is, in a sense, this is my connection, my clan is my connection to the body, to the earth herself, and the spirit of the earth, and that she's what made us. And so, you know, I thinking about what was happening in the Middle East, and what I love about opening with John Trudell is if you read his poetry and listen to his spoken word music, it's just like he really draws lines. He was very internationally focused and drawing the lines between what was going on in other parts of the world and what's happening here in the United States and his own personal life as well. And I think about how can we change this relationship with folks, both domestically and internationally. And I think about, I often think about my husband is Iroquois, and his family are from Six Nations. And his grandfather was the Mohawk Bear Clan chief. And I think about their story of the Great Law of Peace, how they came to be a people. They tell a story about a time when they were at war with each other constantly. They were even practicing cannibalism, eating each other, and then there was a leader who came out. His name was Hiawatha, I think. he came, and he came in a stone canoe, and he brought a vision, a different vision of how they could live together, and it involved a condolence ceremony. What happened was people would kill each other, and then they would take retribution on each other, and kind of a Hatfields and McCoy situation that escalated, and then he felt that everyone needed to grieve with what they had lost, and he created this ceremony, and they use the wampum, the shells, and they pray, and they have a whole ceremony over them, and then he was able to get everyone to agree except for one last leader, and his name was the Tadadaho. And he went to meet him, and he had completely lost his mind. He had lost all of his daughters, had been murdered, his wife, and he had just and what they had lost, what they call the Rayoner, the good mind. And so the peacemaker came, and he sang the song to him, and he brushed his hands. He was so crazy that the Tadaho's hair had turned into snakes. It was a symbol of his mind. And so he sang the song, and he brushed the snakes out of the Tadaho's mind, out of his hair. He put his mind right. And in this way, then, when the Tadaho was healed and made whole, and then the war stopped, the fighting stopped between these, and then these five, originally there were five nations, and they, and so they named the leader of the Confederacy, they named him the Tadaho, in honor of the one who came last, and made it possible for all of them to be united and to live in peace with each other. And the Great Law of Peace itself was an inspiration to the United States, to the creation of the 13 colonies into the United States. And so, because they were familiar with the story, and it was the largest government around for them to see in real life, and take inspiration from. So I think that this is something that, an approach that we need a different approach. We need, and yeah, I think that we need leaders that can have this approach. And yeah, that was just what I was thinking of.
Well, the problem with that is that, how do you get those deranged people in, you know, I mean, that was the very forceful person who was able to, you know, obviously had influence and had the ability to do that. The problem is these people, what they do is they insulate themselves from any responsibility, accountability. That's the nature of the colonial process, the capitalist process. And they just create bigger and bigger means to insulate themselves. So how do you, if they're the ones who set the terms for how you come together, and they're not willing to, you know, they're only willing to come together on their own terms. That's why people resort to terrorism initially, is because they feel fundamentally powerless to bring those people to any accountability.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think it, you know, we have many groups around the world that are working to work together, you know, and of course that's source, but obviously it's not having the effect that we would like it to have. You know, these groups that reach across the table and people of goodwill, but yeah, it does come down to the powerful people. That's why I really encourage a critique of the actual structure that we live in. I think the colonial structure is invisible to us because we've been told that it's something else. I think that it is revealed in what it does. So I do think it does come down to restructuring the power structure we live in. And that is a huge deal. Obviously, I say that easily, but it is obviously. But I do think that I believe in Americans on a certain level. I think that that the majority of Americans, and every, you know, every study shows this to be true, holds viewpoints that are progressive, that that understand these things. And I believe if we can empower that part of the population, which I think does require changing the electoral process to empower, you know, the more urban population and to give them more of a voice. And like I was saying last time, you know, not voting for acres, but votes for people, you know, the way the system's been gerrymandered and this focus on counties, which of course comes from Britain, from England, where, you know, you had, the county was an actual functional sort of thing with villages and farms. Here we have counties that are virtually empty, you know, of people, and yet they have the structure, the money, and the votes, somehow the power. And if they can get under the control of a few wealthy people, then those are utilized. Or even states, like I was mentioning Wyoming, which is totally a state easily taken over by special interests. And now we see states like North Dakota, which are obviously, you know, petrochemical kleptocracies, you know. And so this is the danger of putting the power in these, in the acres, in the land. And it's so sad because in our traditional way, the land was a source of healing, of power, of a way of coming together, of knowing each other, of knowing the world. And here they've turned it into a source of giving electoral power to special interests.
And these are themes that you talk about a lot, and you also write about in, again, in your book, Edge of Mourning, talking about the connection between Native people and the land itself. You know, this Bears Ears has become another big source of contention with this new administration. We'll talk about that when we come back from this break. Again, Jackie is generously offering copies of her book, Edge of Mourning, Native Voices Speak for the Bear's Ears, for your contribution of $75 at 877-500-5266.
That's right, 877-500-5266. We thank you so much, Jackie Keeler, for that gift. And right now we're asking you to be moved by that gift and to make a contribution to KABU, your very own self. Put yourself in the membership of KABU. Help to guide us. Be one of the grassroots that supports this amazing independent community radio resource. I like to think of us as more like we're interdependent, because it is really all of us in this community together. Whether you are, whichever side of the microphone you find yourself on, right? Whether you are here bodily making the station content and doing the work inside, or whether you are funding us and listening to us from the whatever speaker you happen to be on, well, that is fabulous. We do this thing together. We are interdependent, and we need each other. Right now, we would love to hear from you at 877-500-5266. I'm Ani. I'm here with Lisa. This is the last day of our spring membership drive, and I want to thank some folks. I want to thank Douglas for renewing.
Douglas,
yes, thank you so much, Douglas, for renewing in Portland, and for increasing your monthly contribution. That is a wonderful thing to do. Maybe you've been giving $10 a month, and you can bump that up to $12 a month or $15 a month. Think about what you can budget in for your monthly support of KABU, and keep that support coming in all year round in easy bite-sized pieces. 877-500-5266. I want to thank Jim for renewing in Southeast Portland. Thank you so much, Jim.
Yay!
Thank you both, Douglas and Jim, renewing your membership, recommitting to KABU this morning at 877-500-5266. We are looking to raise $2,000 by 9 o'clock, and with your support, that is possible, but it does take your action right now at 877-500-5266. With your contribution of $6.25 a month, or $75 all at once, you can get a copy of Jacqueline Keeler's book that they're talking about right now. We are so lucky to have Jacqueline in our community. Thank you, Jackie, for being here. And right now is the time that you can say thanks in the form of your KABU membership at 877-500-5266.
If you're listening right now, you're hardcore. I'm putting that out. If you're listening to us right now, you are hardcore. If you're not a KABU member yet, I'm just going to put it out to you. What are you waiting for? You know, we're asking for contributions, but more importantly, we're asking for members, right? We've got really only about 20 minutes left in the show, and I'm putting this out. We'd really like people to call 877-500-5266 and make a $20 a month contribution. But look, if you have never been a member, call us up and make any contribution level. We want to see some new members by the end of this hour. 877-500-5266. We've got volunteers back here answering the phones. I'm a volunteer. Air Room is volunteer. Studio 2 is volunteers. This is what we do to try to make space for positive change, right? 877-500-5266. It's the last day of our spring membership party. I'm just calling on people who've never been a member to call and be a member at any level before the top of this hour. 877-500-5266. Show Paul and Jackie that you respect the hours, the hundreds of hours they've put into this programming, because that's what we're doing right now. We're investing in our communities. 877-500-5266. Get a copy of Jackie's book. Do it. KBOO.FM. Okay, back to Wednesday Talk Radio.
All right, thank you. And, you know, there's so many ways to go with this. I wanted to just say something that, you know, one thing I really value about and I hope I assume other people who listening to you do is what you bring to the conversation, which is that a land-based perspective, a deep historical perspective that most Americans just don't really have that sense of history, that sense of direct connection. I mean, if we have a family connection, it's one fraught with, violence, perhaps even violence against Native people or other, forms of historical abuse. So, we may not necessarily claim, but a lot of us just don't even know our family histories. I mean, I talk to so many European Americans who just beyond maybe their, sometimes even beyond their parents' generation, sometimes as far as their grandparents, maybe a little further, but I really appreciate that. And I also just appreciate that sort of sometimes reversal of perspective that is given by you. And, sometimes I feel like sort of you can be sort of put on the spot as like being the Native American who speaks for these things. But, it's because you have that, your own knowledge of that history, your own growing up that way, that you can offer that. Anyway, so this one thing I sort of want to get out there, that T-shirt, Homeland Security fighting terrorism since Fortnite 92 has become this big trope, yeah. People proudly wear it. I love that T-shirt.
If you haven't seen the T-shirt, it says Homeland Security fighting terrorism since 1492. And it features, Apache warriors, right? Yeah. Like Geronimo's, a photo of a line of them. And
which is, it's kind of, it gets a little cutesy, but seeing Native American people wear it, I'm like, yeah, right on. Anyway.
Dad had the copy of that.
so the whole thing of, the what I thought of is how, and this is something that I think, you can really provide a lot of perspective on, is that history, reading real nitty gritty history, is you, and then trying to compare it to like events today, you see how in some ways what happened in Manchester is really comparable to what happened to Native people. It's almost like this bolt out of the blue. It's like, where do these people come from? I think I've said this before in a program we did, how one of the Native people that sort of allied themselves with the British, in the Pequod War, at a certain point, the English were just so vicious in their warfare. They're like, no, we're out of here. This is way too far. We didn't buy into this. So that viciousness.
Well, I think that with the Manchester bombing, I think that is a situation where there's this been obliviousness to the enjoyment of the spoils of colonialism that that in the West people are encouraged to do, we are viewed primarily as consumers, and I think it's that obliviousness that is that needs to end. You have to understand, and that's why I often urge Americans to think about the idea of, okay, if you are a colonist, if you're still a colonist, and this is still a colony by function and form, I mean, it's much more predictive. You can predict what the United States is going to do much more accurately when you view this country as a colony. And then the question is, what does it mean to be an ethical colonist? I think, what does ethical colonialism look like? I mean, if you view yourself as a good person, you would want to behave ethically to other people. And obviously, that is not happening because, if you look at Native people, even today, our rates of suicide are, for young Native men, like between the ages of 18 and 25, it's like 9 times that of their peers. For Native men, death by police is 6 times that, of anyone, even of black men. I mean, if over the age of 35, if you look at the statistics, death by police for Native men goes way up, 6 times that of African-American men. And then of course, Native women have, 3 times the reported rate of rape and murder of other women in America. And this was according to a Department of Justice report from 2010. And the majority of their attackers, 70%, are white men, men of not of their race, which is unlike any other ethnic racial group in the United States.
And for a long time, until relatively recently, it was is also with impunity because that wasn't covered on.
It's still with impunity. Yeah. I mean, there is this huge gap in the in the law, and they get away with it, and they go hunting on reservations for women. I think that we need to look at what does ethical colonialism look like.
Is it even possible?
And you know, Manchester, of course, was the workshop of the world. It was a big, this was the beating heart of the imperial, industrial machine. Where does this wealth come from that we enjoy here? What does it mean? And the oil is a big part of it now. And what's driving, this sort of thing? I mean, I would say that's very different than what happened with the Pequots, in that, the Pequots had not committed any acts of colonialism or oppression against the British people. The what came after them was this desire for colonialism. I do go into that a lot in my, I actually have a paper, a journal coming out talking about, I did the keynote for the White Privilege Conference in Kansas City last month. So they're publishing my keynote, and it goes all into the whole detail of that.
Who's publishing your keynote?
It's the White Privilege Journal.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so it's, yeah.
Okay, well, we got to go to a break soon, but we got a couple callers, so let's go to those callers real quick. Lee, go ahead, you're on the air.
Thank you. Jacqueline and Paul, you're very special people. Thank you for what you're doing. My comment is KBU provided most of the information and certainly the earliest information about what was going on at Standing Rock. And my comment is, if you support people at Standing Rock opposing other, and the people opposing other pipelines, you deserve to support KBU. Thank you.
All right. Well, with that, I guess that leads right into our membership drive. I guess we got one more caller. Go ahead, Sonny, you're on the air.
Well, that was a good, important word, along with you folks' important word. I just wanted to add real quickly that American Indian women are also the number one stalked population in this country and in Canada. And KBU is the way that we can all gather together all of our hearts across all the colors. We can all be together with KBU. So thank you, thank you. That's all.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that says it all. Some of our listeners certainly support the continuing support of KBU at 877-500-5266. I'm a talk show host. I shouldn't lose my train of thought there at all. Let's go to our membership central.
And good morning, Paul. Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Jackie. We are here with you. I'm Ani.
I'm Lisa, and we are passing the hat for this radio station. We really have just a few minutes till the top of this hour. This is the last day of our fabulous spring membership party, and we have a sense of urgency that we want to communicate that to you. 877-500-5266. You heard what people were just saying on the air. You know why this radio station is here.
Yeah.
We try to break the dominant paradigm. We try to bust people's bubbles. That's dangerous radio, and that's why it's difficult sometimes to get, gigantic corporate piles of money over here to pay for our operations. We do not have gigantic piles of corporate money over here paying for our operations, and that's actually been a good thing over the years, and that's what you're investing in when you give us a call, 877-500-5266. We have given away a few copies of Jackie's book. I do think that we may well have some more copies. That's for a $6.
$75.
$75 for the year. That's only
six and a quarter.
$6.25 a month. That's two energy drinks, y'all. Come on. You shouldn't be drinking those things anyway. So I really am strongly encouraging people that have never been a member before, ever, to call before the top of this hour, any amount, 877-500-5266. We got some more cowbell. If we get someone to give a really beautiful contribution with a beautiful message about why you're happy to invest in KBU, we'll read that message over the air and we'll give you some more cowbell. You can also donate online, kboo.com. FM. Come in person. We're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. Now's the time. If you've been sitting on your wallet, sitting on your cell phone this whole past couple weeks, now's the time to pull out your device of choice and dial 877-500-5266. Ani?
Absolutely true. And you are listening to this conversation this morning, so you know how vital these conversations are to people from so many marginalized communities. We find our way onto the KBOO airwaves. We build bridges with each other. We find ways to create solidarity. We find ways to connect each other's struggles. And we find ways to move forward together. That's what this station is about. And that's what your contribution supports when you call 877-500-5266. Are you horrified about the continuing oppressions of Native peoples in this country? I am. And right now, you have been listening to this conversation about the incredible toll that colonialization has cost and the incredible violence that is still perpetrated in this community. And it is so important right now that you support the airwaves that give a microphone to this conversation so that we can all hear these truths and we can take action together to change the world and make the world a better place for everyone. Please, your participation right now is so very critical. Call us at 877-500-5266. Become a KBOO member this morning or renew your commitment to KBOO, your community radio station. You can get a copy of Jacqueline Keeler's book for your $6.25 a month contribution that comes out to $75 over the course of a year. You can do that all at once or break it down into easy bite-sized pieces. We just want your participation right now at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
The other thing that I want to personally be crystal clear about is actually Jacqueline Keeler is an historic figure in the United States, in our local community, also where she's from in Ohio. Here is a person who has spent her life agitating for social change to bring more empowerment to local communities. And, you know, here at KBOO, we don't have a staff of all white people that controls everything. We try to give the microphone to communities. We try to give the microphone to everyday people also. And I just want to say, KBOO, giving a microphone to the people since 1968. That's what we do over here. 877-500-5266. And I mean, we really need people to make the phone rings and show Paul and Jackie that you support what they do.
We have two lines left open.
Really need 877-500-5266. We will go back to Jackie and Paul, but you know, we really need you to stop what you're doing and invest in what's happening around you in a positive way. 877-500-5266. If you're already a member, add $6.25 to what you already do, and you can get Jackie's book. But you have to call. This is it. I don't know what you're waiting for. 877-500-5266. I do know what people are waiting for. They want to get a frozen waffle. Come in person. 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We'll stick one of these frozen waffles in the toaster. We've got only the best quality, generic syrup. But this is a real community of people. We're real people. We're inviting you to join us. 877-500-5266. Going back to the show. And thanks for all who are already members and who are soon going to call. Okay,
sorry. And we're back, and we just got a couple of minutes left. So I just wanted to ask, we had a caller, but we only have like a couple of minutes left, so sorry, we're not going to be able to go to that. But Jacqueline, so what you were just saying, it almost sounds something like Malcolm X's chickens coming home to roost.
Yeah, the quote that got Ward Churchill in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, it does come, you have to be spatially aware. This applies not only to yoga and things like that, but it also applies to, your universe, your cosmology. And I think this is something that Americans have been quite disjointed about. We have this story we tell ourselves about what the United States is and does, yet clearly a lot of Americans are waking up to the fact that it does not match up with what actually is happening in America, is happening whether you're talking about the health care bill or you're talking about, you know, pipeline development, you know, a focus on fossil fuels instead of, you know, it's just obviously this is not happening. And that's because that we don't live, we are actually, it's like I said, what are you actually driving? Are you driving a sports car? Are you driving a harvester combine? You kind of need to know what vehicle you're actually in, and then you can actually predict what it's going to do. So you know, knowing your spatially what, who and where you are in the world, as a citizen of a nation, on either side of the equation of colonialism, then I think you can, as a people and as an individual, respond more appropriately.
Well, with that, we got to wrap up here. I just want to really quickly reiterate that this Saturday, 6:30 p.m., the Hollywood Theater is presenting a benefit screening of Promised Land, which centers on two indigenous tribes, the Pacific Northwest, the Duwamish and Chinook Indian Nations, as they both fight for the restoration of treaty rights still legally denied to them by the U.S. government. Saturday at Hollywood Theater. Of course, Chris Hedges will be in town Friday and Saturday at the Aladdin Theater, 7 p.m. on Friday, I believe 2 p.m. on Saturday. Stop Fascism Tour. With that, we got to get out of here. This is Paul Rowland with Jackie Keeler. Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah.
Tune into KABU on Sunday, May 28th at 10 p.m. for a live broadcast of Thirsty City. Thirsty City is a monthly hip-hop night at The Know, and Sunday, May 28th will be a benefit for KABU. Performers include Libretto, Mike Crenshaw, DJ Wicked, Burial Ground Sound, and many more. Again, that's Thirsty City, hosted by King Tim 33 and a third, Matt Fu, and Northern Draw, Sunday, May 28th, starting at 8 p.m. at The Know, 3728 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland, and also broadcast live at 10 p.m. on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Hi, my name is Pauline.
And I'm her brother Arnold.
Our mom volunteers at KABU. She's just one of the 500 volunteers that keep the station running.
Thank you for listening to KABU and supporting the station.
You are a member, right?
If you're listening to the station, you should be a member.
Remember, it's community radio, and you're part of the community.